Good morning, everybody. So nice to see so many alumni in the crowd. What a special schluss. I appreciate the feedback. Apparently some alumni listen to the shmooze once in a while. We're going to have the opportunity, which gives tremendous chizuk to all of us. And it really brings a lot of nachas to know that things that are said in this space medrash travel across the ocean and somehow have some sort of influence. And we'll try to accomplish the same thing today. There's so many things we can discuss in this week's parasha, but one thing I found this week was the idea of the Voras Parech. Right? The Pasuk says, Parak Al Pasuk Gimel, Vayavidu Mitzrayim Es B'nei So B'Farech. Now, Rashi translates B'Farech as harsh labor, but the Medrash says that it's a play on the words, a combination of two words of Peh Rach, which means the soft mouth. And the Medrash discusses, the Medrash here a little bit, the Medrash in Sefer Bamidbar, discusses how Paro convinced and persuaded the Jews to go into slavery. Everybody knows the famous Medrash that he offered like triple pay to start, and he also was working side by side with them. So if Paro is working alongside with you, who wouldn't work hard? Says the Medrash. And then, slowly but surely, we know the famous idea that once Paul got them into the slave mentality and slave mode, he said, hey, when I was paying you triple wages, and when I was working alongside you, you're able to accomplish this amount. Now, I know how much work you can accomplish when you're working hard for those things. I want to see you accomplish the same level of achievement and accomplishment and work without pay. And this way he was able to gauge how much they're capable of doing down the road. So, according to the way we understand from the Midrashim, that's how Paro got them to start working as slaves. So one would assume that would stop, that mentality, that tactic was only to get them started, but didn't continue. However, if Rav Shalom Shadron is Lev Shalom, Shkoyach for the Talmud who purchased it for me last year, sitting in the room, it says in the pasuk, "Vayimaru eschayehem ba'avoda kasher b'chomer uvulvenim uvuchol avoda basode es kol avodasim asher avdu b'hem b'farech es kol avodasim." All of their work was done b'farech. So again, in the previous pasuk it said b'farech, that's how it started, and then the second pasuk in pasuk Yudalad, it's discussing the type of work that they were doing. It said asher avdu b'hem b'farech, and Rav Shalom Shadron is medayik for this pasuk that the avodas parech, not just the harsh labor, but the perach, the convincing, the persuading way of putting them into slavery, continued throughout their demise into the total level of slavery that they ended up in. So, it's a little bit of a surprise that tactic continued, but there's a very deep message over here. That's number one. And we're going to get to that in a moment. That's going to help us out. The Rambam, in a letter to his son, which is called Igeres Musar, he writes to his son that Paro is doma to the Yetzirah, which is quite interesting. There are many Rishonim in the Torah. We have Lavan, we have Esav, we have Bilam, so on, Abimelech. Many, many Rishonim in the Torah. But why is Paro singled out as the one who is equal to the Yetzirah? So in order to explain these two ideas that Paro was continuously convincing us to continue working as slaves, number one. Number two, why Paro is the one Rasha who's symbolic to the Yetzirah, we're going to have to analyze the Gemara in Sukkah. A very famous Gemara that many of you have heard. The Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to shech the Yetzirah in front of everybody. And the Tzaddikim are going to look upon the Yetzirah as a huge mountain, and the Rishayim are going to look upon the Yetzirah as a thin strand, a thin hair strand. The Tzaddikim are going to cry, and the Rishonim are going to cry. So, Rav Shalom asks, it has to be that even though it's the Lasad Lavo, right, something that we're not going to necessarily see today, there has to be, the fact that Chazal told us about it, the fact that the Gemara mentions it, must be there's a limit for us today. It's got to be. And also, he's trying to understand, how could it be that the same, obviously we can't really look at the Yetzirah as being physical in certain respects, but how could it be that to the Tzaddikim is mamish, a big mountain, and to the Rishonim is a strand of hair. And the Gemara continues into the next part of the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Amrav Asi Yetzirah b'tchila doma l'chut shabuchia, u'b'sof doma kavos es hagala." When the Yetzer Hara starts out, it's only a strand, right? And then eventually it becomes like a thick rope for a wagon. And the Marsha over there explains that the Tzaddikim only see by the Tzaddikim it's a hard, big mountain, as we said, and for the Rishonim it's a very thin strand. And he says that the Har Gavoa, the big mountain, that's the what? That's synonymous, that's similar to the thick rope of the wagon. And the thin strand that the Rishonim see, that's synonymous with the beginning stages of the Yetzer Hara, which is a thin strand. So how do we explain this idea? So it's like this. And I'm sure many of you have encountered this, and many of you can relate to this concept. We'll start with the mashal. The mashal is a guy is a very serious Jew. He lived in yeshiva. He wants to do the mitzvahs as properly and as well as possible. And he says, I'm going to be makbir on Kriya Shema. It's my Kriya Shema of the Magen Avraham. Which this morning, I happened to check for somebody. It was 8:27. I'm going to be makbir on Kriya Shema of the Magen Avraham. And then he gets a little bit lax and he says, you know what? It's only a chumra. It's not a big deal. I forget. The Gra is huge. I can go after the Kriya Shema. It's my Kriya Shema of the Gra. And then he says, okay, you know what? I'm really, really tired today. I can't make Zman Kriya Shema out of the Gra today. You know what? It's not really a big deal. I can't daven with Kriya Shema out of the Gra. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to wake up. This morning, Kriya Shema out of the Gra was 9:10. So I'll wake up at 9 o'clock, say Kriya Shema, and then I'll chab Zman. I'll go down with Tefillah B'Tzibur, you know, Bizman at 9:45. Fine, just say it. And then he has another late night a week later, and he says, you know what? So is my tefillah really b'di'evit? I just learned the sugya b'di'evit. You'll have to damage my esrei till chatzos. So, the Seder. And eventually, he stops davening shachris with a minyan, and then he stops davening shachris at home. So one would ask, how did a serious young man or a serious person, or whatever stage he is in life, go from davening his whole life with a tzibur on time, with Zman Kriya Shema, the whole business, come to the stage where he's not davening at all? How did that happen? So of course these things don't happen overnight. Of course the mashal can be applied to many areas of life. But the idea is that at first it's a tiny nisayon. Mamish a tiny nisayon. Zman Kriya Shema, Magen Avraham, not Magen Avraham. Okay, today won't be Machbid. Okay, the Seder. So that is mamish a thin strand. That's nothing. That's a tiny test. But the idea, the reason why the tzaddik sees it as a har gavah, or thick ropes, is that we know one of the midas that's discussed, right, in the Pirkei Avos is Ro'as HaNolad. One of the greatest things, Ro'as HaNolad, you see the future. A tzaddik is somebody who understands that, you know what, this nisayon now is small, but the Yetzer Hara, you know what the Yetzer Hara really wants? The Yetzer Hara is not going to be satisfied with this me succumbing and me giving into this nisayon right here and now. No. The Yetzer Hara has his eyes set on much, much bigger goals. He wants me to stumble here so I can stumble there and there and there and there until I reach the bottom of the pit. And that's why when the tzaddik goes up, lost level, sees the Yetzer Hara, he's seeing what he always knew. That it's a tremendous thing. It's a very thick rope. It's a very big mountain. However, the Rasha, who succumbs to the Yetzer Hara, what does he see? Every small nisayon, and he's crying. Why is he crying, Lasad Lavo? Because he realizes, oh my gosh, I ended up there because I fell on all these small different things, small nisayonos. It's a tiny, tiny nisayon. How did I not see it? And he's devastated. He can't believe it. And just to explain that Tzaddik's crying, he can't believe that he was zoche to overcome this huge mountain. But why was he able to overcome the huge mountain? Because he never messed up the first time. It's such an unbelievable lesson, and that's why Paro is like is synonymous and compared to the Yetzer Hara, because Paro used this tactic to put us into slavery. We were the most chashuv people in Mitzrayim. You walk out of Sefer Bereishis, you say, "Wow, Yosef is running the whole country. The brothers are in Goshen. Everybody respects them. They're tremendous." No, and they're the only. First of all, we know that they're the only ones who had land. Everybody else gave their land, and they weren't. I'm sorry, even more than the land, they were the only ones that weren't slaves. Everybody else in the entire country ran out of land, ran out of money, ran out of cattle, and they had to give up themselves to get food. They were all slaves to Yosef. All of a sudden, the Jews are becoming slaves? How does that happen? It doesn't happen overnight. Slowly but surely, Paro, in his very, very wise tactics, convinced them to become mamish slaves. But it was a little bit here, a little bit there. Come work a little bit harder, a little bit harder, and then before they knew it, they were there. And I think it's an unbelievable message, because I said it a few weeks ago with the marshal of the idea of how great we are. And we spoke about the story which I love, the story about these young boys from Russia who the boy of 13 years old undergoes a bris at 13, and then with Mesiras Nefesh he makes sure that his brother who's 11 years old has a bris milah as well. And Prime Waxman is mediating the story that, but I want it to be Makatzer, I wanted to shorten it. That's why I didn't say the whole thing, but it's because I had to say the other person, what the other rabbi's approach was. One rabbi got up there and he said, wow, I feel so small. Why do I feel so small? Because here I am, I'm seeing these little kids with Mesiras Nefesh that I've never in my life can come close to, can have any connection to, and I feel like a nothing. And Rabbi Waxman said so unbelievably that no, he feels so great. Why? Because he knows that deep down inside of him, as a Jew, he has that level of Mesiras Nefesh. So here we are, we think, oh, wow, you know, what would be if I was in that situation? Would I have that Mesiras Nefesh? And I said, yeah, I would have that Mesiras Nefesh. But I can't become great like those little kids in Russia because, hey, I'm just a regular guy in Torah Shraga or NYU or wherever you are. And therefore, I don't have these Nisyonos and Mesiras Nefesh. But the pshat is, no, every moment of your life is a Mesiras Nefesh. And you put these two and two together and you get the following idea. The following idea is that a person thinks, oh, I have a small Nisyon right now. It's not a big deal. If I overcome it, yeah, what is it going to be a big parade for me if I overcome this Nisyon? Probably not. They can write Svarim about me if I overcome this small Nisyon. Whatever you know, fill in the blank. Whether it's Field Bitzibur, whether it's getting up for a drink in the middle of Seder, whether it's learning an extra 10 minutes of Mishnayos, whatever it is. Everybody has their own small Nisyonos. Whether it's making a bracha b'kavana, davening b'kavana, you can fill in a gazillion Nisyonos. Because why? Because every second of life is a new Nisyon. Now, you either grow from that and have the Mesiras Nefesh that I think is on the same, as on par with those boys in Russia, because essentially every person has his own Nisyonos, and every single moment is a Nisyon. You can either overcome it, or you can fall. You can trip, and you can stumble over that tiny, tiny strand. But it's not going to be just a tiny strand. It continues and continues until you reach the bottom. And just to tie it in with another aspect of this parsha, we know that Bas Paro, there was no way in the world she would be able to reach Moshe's basket. But yet what? She reaches out her amasa. And Rashi explains that she reached out and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a miracle and her arm reached the basket. Rabbosai, very often we have these nisyonos, we think that they're not achievable. We can't do it. We can't overcome them. But if you put this whole picture together, you realize you're faced with a small nisyon right now. A small nisyon. Realize that if you continue to fail these small nisyonos, you can end up in big trouble. Right now is the time to conquer it. Conquer it when it's small. And then you'll be Matzliach, and then you'll see, in Yad Hashem, lost level, you'll look back, and you'll say, wow, look what I overcame. I can't believe I did that. But you can, because what did you do? Step by step, lot, lot, you overcame those Nisyonos. So, I guess the message is, I was going to say something else, but I feel like a little bit short on time. But everybody has their challenges in life, whether you're here Shana Bet, whether you're here Shana Aleph, whether you're here as an alumnus. And life is a Nisyon at every rega, at every moment. And the truth of the matter is, if a person is able to really, and this is what it means to live by Emunah, and that's really what, I said this last week and I'll say it again, that was Paro's whole idea, and it was brought down to Mesiras Yesharim. Let's be smart, let's outsmart the Jews. Why? Bombard them with work, and they won't be able to think. They'll be running, 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 running. They won't be able to think and stop and to control what they're doing. We have to go ahead and we have to say, no, this is a Nisyon. It's small. This is a Nisyon. I can overcome it. And if I overcome step by step, I'll become great. And you shall become a great tzaddikim. You shall overcome that tiny strand. And in Yitzhak Shem Lost level, you'll see that it's all one big mountain. Good Shabbos. Now,